This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Well, today, to continue on that theme, we will be speaking with author Helene Olin, who examines a more personal part of the financial industry that touch all of us but is often not written about. Her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of Personal Finance Industry, does just what it claims in an engaging, thoughtful way. Welcome to KBOO, Helene.
Hi there.
Thanks, and thanks for your time, too. This is really important. You spent several years as a personal finance writer and editor. You wrote and edited for the popular Money Makeover series in the LA Times and are now a freelance writer and journalist with work in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Slate, Forbes, Business Week, and more. So this is an industry that you're deeply familiar with and have written about for quite some time. So tell us how you got into this industry and what drew you to it.
What drew me to it was that I was sitting in my house in Los Angeles one day, and my phone rang, and it was an editor at a local paper who said, "Do you know anything about personal finance? We need somebody to write the Money Makeover column over Christmas." And this is what I knew about personal finance at the time, was that it paid a heck of a lot more money than other freelance writing. So, of course, I said yes, thinking I would take this one assignment. I would make a total muff of it. They would pay me. There would be an angry phone call. I'd get my check, and we'd all go on our ways. So I run out the door, buy a copy of Personal Finance for Dummies, which is still in print, by the way, and go about doing the interviews for this assignment, literally writing down terms as the financial planner assigned to the case is saying them so that I can go look them up later in the evening. And just trying to sound like I know what I'm doing in the meantime. To sort of give myself something to write about, I began to ask the subject about money in her life. Anyway, I go home, look up the terms, write the piece, hand it in, thinking I'm about to get a screaming phone call. And instead they said, "Oh, we really like that. Can we have another one?" And I said, "Sure." And this goes on for a while. And at some point, I become a personal finance writer.
Which says a lot about the industry in general. You say in your book, "The Juggernaut, the personal finance and investment industry is a juggernaut, a part of both the ascendant financial service sector of our economy and the ever-booming self-help arena. It's seemingly everywhere when you turn on a television or radio, et cetera, et cetera." And you couldn't be more correct. It does touch and affect everyone. So tell us a little bit about, well, as you do in the book so well, some of the personalization that starts with undercovering what you find out about the self-help / financial industry.
Well, personal finance really originates in the 1930s with a woman named Sylvia Porter, who very few people under the age of 50 even remember who she was any longer. She was a woman in her early 20s. Her mother had lost the family money in a stock market scheme during the crash in 29. And Sylvia Porter, who is studying economics at Hunter, starts freelance writing, and her mission is very clear. She wants to educate people so that something like the Great Depression never happens again. And over time, she develops the personal finance genre. So Sylvia Porter, sort of creates personal finance out of the maelstrom of the 1930s. Self-help is huge in the 1930s. Alcoholics Anonymous traces to the 1930s. How to Think and Grow Rich originates in the 1930s. Dale Carnegie was writing in the 1930s. At the same time, there's another huge political strain, of course, as we all famously know, in the 1930s, where both, Nazism and socialism and communism had huge appeal to people. So it's this time of people searching and looking for answers, and personal finance kind of develops along with all of this other stuff. And it stays relatively small. Sylvia Porter has this field to herself for many years. She writes her column. It goes national. She's on the cover of Time magazine in 1960. Starting in the 1970s, there's another explosion of personal finance information. And it happens because, once again, the economy's not so great. Self-help becomes more important. And there's a third factor that starts kicking in. You start seeing massive innovation in the financial services sector. I always tell people I was born in 1965. The year I was born, credit cards were less than 10 years old. When married women had no right to them. There's no ATM machines, no retirement accounts. Mortgages are pretty basic, 30-year fixed rate things. And all this innovation that we now think of as quite normal simply didn't exist. And as it debuts in the market, there's an increasing need for information. And so this is when personal finance really begins to explode.
It isn't neutral because it reinforces the American ideology of individualism. And it questions by letting people think that they sometimes have more individual power than they do. I mean, it does weave nicely with a thread that is rising at the time.
Right. Personal finance, as I said, is, you know, a sort of bastard child of the self-help industry. And the self-help industry is, in its own way, quite political, though you don't think of it that way. You think of it as, you know, you're reading books on how to accomplish things. Well, in fact, a lot of times what you're being told is how to accomplish things that are a product of what is going on in our society. So, like, for example, to digress for a minute, what was very big in the self-help industry in the 1980s was a lot of stuff about how women could get along with men because, of course, you know, women had gone back to work and they were, you know, getting professional degrees at much higher rates. And all of a sudden you start seeing books on, you know, why men don't understand women or why women don't understand men and how we're all going to get along in this. So what happens, of course, is this impacts the personal finance arena as well. And you begin to see more and more books, as especially, you know, the income inequality thing begins in the late 1970s, early 1980s. And you see more and more books over time telling you how to get ahead.
It plays into, rather than the broader, more general issues that women in the workplace would face, like childcare, or they're often is the missing parallel narrative that would help.
Right. It doesn't take into account the fact that, like, laws could help change things.
Right.
So to give a very current example right now, and something I wrote about for The Guardian last week, where I now have a column, is I looked at Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In.
Oh, good.
And, you know, she's telling people, you know, speak up for yourself and advocate for yourself, which is all well and good. But in fact, women have problems in the workplace not only because they don't advocate for themselves, but because they're actively discriminated against often. Women have problems in the workplace because they're actively discriminated against often. And how do you exactly counter that? You know, asking for a raise isn't going to help all the time when women are underpaid compared to men. And in fact, it would be much better if simply instead of putting the onus on women to make sure they're paid equally, there was some way to ensure that they were paid equally. Because you're not going to solve these things one by one. And it's a very direct comparison to what goes on in personal finance, where it's all assumed we can save ourselves one by one from this sort of morass of our economy.
Wow, does personal finance advice ever need debunking? And author Helene Olin does it for you, our KBOO listener, with her new book, Pound Foolish, Exploring the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. You can get this book as a way to help you, KBOO, and the whole community. Now let's turn it over to our Membership Central and find out how.
Thanks so much, Michelle. My name is Justin. We're briefly interrupting this vital programming to remind you in Radioland that the only way this kind of programming gets out to you, to your family, to your friends, to your entire community, and indeed to the whole world, is because you reach down, you find a few pennies, nickels, and dimes, and you change your pocket change into social change. Won't you call right now to stand up and be counted? Be counted right now by calling 877-500-5266. That's what Rona did in Portland. Thank you so much, Rona. And Barry in Branscombe, California, a new member. I'm told that Barry's a truck driver, and he was passing through and listening, and he called up to become a new member. And if that don't take the cake, I don't know what does. Why don't you let Barry show you the way, and you pick up your phone and call right now, 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number from California, from the Dakotas, from the Carolinas, because you're listening at KBOO.FM, and I know you're doing that because you don't have a vital community resource that comes through your dashboard like we here in Portland do. Let's make sure we don't take that for granted. 877-500-5266 or online at KBOO.FM. If you could start a membership of just $60, we could send you a copy of Helene Olin's book, that's Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. That has a retail value of $28. That means you're also going to get a $32 tax deduction next year. And think about it, even if you don't make a lot of money, you're probably going to have a little bit of tax liability. So that's money that's already gone. The question is, do you send it to Washington to be used in the drone wars, or do you keep it here providing access, training, and programming to serve as a monument here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue? Won't you please stand up and be counted right now? 877-500-KBOO. We have a modest goal, just $800. That may sound like a lot to you in radio land. I know I don't have it in my pocket right now, but there are thousands of you listening, and we have power together more so than individually. So maybe seven of you could start a $120 membership. That would do it. That's 33 cents a day towards the roughly $2,000 it costs us. Won't you please, right now, take a moment out of your busy day and just a few pennies, nickels, and dimes out of your ever-shrinking pocketbook and put it here in this monument. Call us right now, 877-500-5266. You can do that online securely, KBOO.FM, or call up and introduce yourself, 877-500-KBOO.
I'm speaking with Helene Olin about her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Talk to us, again, just because most people are familiar with Susie Orman, and she embodies the self-help philosophy and the locus of control, how much you impact. And I think you do a good job of not denying that there is, of course, important, necessary personal responsibility on every level from every person. But for that to be the overarching reason denies reality for where some people find themselves. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Right.
And her.
The idea is that, you know, Susie Orman comes out of the Bay Area. She's very much a product of the self-actualization movements of the 70s and 80s. She does her time with yoga gurus and all sorts of different thought patterns. In fact, when she becomes a financial advisor, true story, she turns up on her first day of work with a crystal and uses the crystal to determine how people are going to invest. And so her appeal is very much this emotional, I'm going to talk to you about how you feel about your money. And if you're going to feel good about your money, riches will come to you. And this is especially pronounced at the beginning of her career, where she would actually say things like, you know, thinking about money in bad ways is aging and it's going to make you look bad. And one very astute critic pointed out that, you know, how then did that explain all the Depression-era photos of people in Oklahoma? But it's very much this idea that you're going to control everything, and it's all within your control and your power.
And of course, the problem with that is not only is that on its face not true and individually completely false, but is rarely talked about. Because, as you say, there's a whole shame and victimhood about money and what happens. And then the general memes that get out there are for the purpose of promoting an anecdote.
Right. I mean, essentially, we've lived in a society where for 30 years, you know, incomes have stagnated and fallen. Our net worth, you know, plunged 40% alone between 2007 and 2010. At the same time, over this 30-plus year period, the cost of things I like to say that you can't live without, housing, healthcare, education, and so on, went up at rates well beyond that of inflation. And the response of this personal finance self-help industry isn't to say we have a collective problem. How are we as a people going to deal with it? It is you are a failure if you can't deal with it. And we're going to teach you the secret of how to deal with it. And if you can't deal with it after reading our book or my book, then there's something wrong with you, not the greater society we live in. And they get away with this because we do have this culture in this country where we, as I put it, we believe very deeply in the myth of Horatio Alger, this mm-hmm. whole idea that anybody can be born into any circumstance and get ahead. It's not just a national myth. It is an international myth. So to say that it is wrong or that it is not working is to really challenge the heart of not only the American dream, almost this worldwide dream of America. And as a result, there is this intense shame in us when we can't make it.
And that we are facing a lot of that around healthcare. It's the same thing. We have the best healthcare system in the world. And yet, when we dig deeper or we get away from the dishonesty or the pervasive myths, then we get down to, well, is it? Is it really? Is it available for everyone? Is this the best we can do? I think the sad thing that turns out, and you were quoted in the book as saying that a colleague in personal financial journalism said it almost doesn't matter if the advice turns out to be right or wrong, as long as it looks logical.
Right. I mean, and, you know, to go to the healthcare thing for 1 minute, there's this wonderful trope in personal finance right now, where if you see advice on how to do well in retirement, one of the lines frequently is, and I'm quoting directly, stay healthy. Because we all know that there are these hordes of people out there desperately seeking various illnesses.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, it's your fault if you get sick and you run up massive bills because you have arthritis and you can't work anymore, or, you know, you get diabetes, or, you know, you get cancer. It really becomes a sort of pervasive way of thinking and viewing the world that blames everybody individually for their own misfortunes.
Well, and again, it's perpetrated, wasn't it? It was somebody on Wall Street that did the yelling back about, I don't want to pay for my neighbor's second car and third house, instead of the real reality, which was losing a job, having a medical problem, having a sick parent, having a sick child, where the numbers get distorted. Yes, some of that did happen, but I mean, you talked a little bit about the upward mobility in our minds that we think in the United States versus what it is in terms of other countries.
Right. I mean, one of the things that goes on out there is there's like this huge issue of blame. We know that the main cause of bankruptcy in this country is healthcare costs. You wouldn't think that listening to pundits on television who are simply, you know, constantly yelping about how all the poor people have smartphones, and if they would give up their smartphones, we would all be fine. It's simply not true. We had a 10% savings rate as recently as 1980 in this country. It starts to fall along with this slow but building income stagnation. And instead of turning around and saying, okay, why is our savings rate falling? What is changing in our environment to cause our savings rate to fall? And I mean our greater economic environment. The response of all too many people was to say, gosh, Americans seem to have suddenly gotten very irresponsible, and we need to hector them into saving more money, which was really just not looking at reality at all.
I'm speaking with Helene Olin about her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Now we can go to Membership Central and find out how you can get this book and support KBOO at the same time.
Thank you very much, Michelle. My name is Justin, and we briefly interrupt programming a couple of times a year in order to make sure that you remember how this community radio station works. It is people powered with extreme prejudice, and that means that you out there becoming a member are responsible for over 80% of this station's budget. Won't you take a minute right now and, you know, with just pennies, nickels, and dimes, show your support? The amount doesn't matter so much. What matters is that you stand up and be counted and let us add your name to the KBOO Good Book. Just like Jack in Beaverton called up to start a new membership. Thank you so much, Jack. Natawas in Skapoos, we are so grateful for your support. And if you could do a $60 membership right now, we could give you a copy of Helene Olin's book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Starts and ends with you making a phone call, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. If you prefer, you can do that online at kboo.fm. Just $740 to go. That tells me that if six of you would start that sustaining membership, it sounds like a lot to do $120 in a year, but it amounts to 33 cents a day towards the $2,000 a day your station costs. So when we ask you to take a little responsibility, we're not asking you to break the bank. We're not asking you to need to get into the personal finance myth industry. We're just saying that with pennies, nickels, and dimes, you can make sure that KBOO is around for another 23 million commercial-free minutes. 877-500-5266. You know, we've done our best to strip the cost out of this station. We're certainly not taking any trips to the Riviera in private planes. We're not paying Kurt there behind the board. We're not paying our volunteers who are answering the phone. We're making basically almost entirely our own content, so we're not paying there. And we're even trading with the hotel to manage our garbage. So we're really doing our best to strip the cost out. But the lights have to be on. The board has to be working. The transmitter has to be functioning. That's what we ask you to support when we ask you to call 877-500-5266. Look, we know that you give for your reasons, not for ours. I mean, I can tell you all the things we'll do with the money, but that's not what inspires you to give. It's the reasons that we give you that inspire you to give. It's the information you don't get from the shrieking heads on the commercial band. It's the news and information you're not supposed to know. It's the music from all corners of the earth that has inspired you to get off your couch and dance. Please say thank you to all of the ambassadors who make that possible. It doesn't matter how much you give. It matters that you stand up and be counted. 877-500-5266. We're all doing our part. I'm sitting here trying to entice you. Kurt's working the board. Our volunteers are answering the phone. Restaurants are giving food to make sure that the blood sugars don't crash while we're taking your calls. Thank you, Crema Bakery and Cafe at 2728 Southeast Ankeny. Thank you, Hush Hush Cafe at 433 Southwest 4th. Thank you, Sizzle Pie at 624 East Burnside. You folks have done what you can do today. Now, that should be an inspiration to you in Radio Land who are listening to this information, because you don't get it anyplace else, because a long time ago you decided you just couldn't bear the shrieking heads anymore, and KBOO has been there for you. Will you be there for KBOO now? 877-500-5266. Maybe you prefer to do that online. Maybe you're already listening at kboo.fm. While you're there, check out our historic poster contest. We're posting every day an old event poster from a KBOO event. We're asking you to submit some comments. Tell us, were you there? Did you appreciate that? Did you experience it? And we're going to give one of those posters away every day. So you have till 3 p.m. today to comment on today's poster. Maybe you'll win that poster. But really, it starts and ends with remembering what a vital service this is to the entire community. And now that we are reaching over 140 of the almost 200 countries on earth, it's no longer an option to take us for granted as some out-of-the-way mom-and-pop foil hat brigade outfit. This is a true voice of the people that looks to deliver information to you, not to deliver you into the hands of advertisers. What's that worth to you? A penny? A nickel? A dime? A quarter? A dollar? Please make it so right now. 877-500-5266. 866. You can do that online at kboo.fm, or you can come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Have you ever been to your community radio station? We've given you a lot of time to come down. 45 years is how long we've been here. If you haven't seen it, why don't you come down? Why don't you see a music library that has over 50,000 CDs, over 30,000 LPs? Why don't you come down and watch our volunteers making the news every day, receiving training, lending voice to so many different constituencies out there? What's that worth? A penny? A nickel? A dime? A quarter? A dollar? Call us up and tell us what that's worth to you. Toll free, 877-500-5266.
I'm speaking with Helene Olin about her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. You do a great job in the book of debunking these myths as they come up, and at least understanding that they're not neutral, that this feeds into the financial system. I mean, the end of pensions. I've had this conversation with people my age, and they forget that it wasn't always this way. 401k was not just like the sun coming up in the morning and the moon going down at night, but you know, or the reverse. They don't remember a time, and we are now past the generation of the GI Bill, of college loans, of college loans that make sense and could be paid back with a job when you got out. So talk to us a little bit about the financial tools that have been utilized in this regard.
The 401k is one of the great historic accidents of our time. It starts in the late 1970s. It is a tax dodge scheme for some high-ranking executives at various corporate firms to put aside a certain amount of their salary without paying taxes, tax-deferred basis. An enterprising lawyer named Ted Benna goes to what is by this time the Reagan administration and gets them to agree that this shouldn't just be for high-ranking executives, but it should be for all of us. Now, even he is not thinking, however, it's going to replace pensions. The 401k was intended to be a supplement to pensions because people were concerned that the elderly did not have enough money with Social Security and pensions. So there was hope that if they could put money aside on a tax-deferred basis, they would have a little bit more. What nobody realized, or very few people realized, which is what was going to happen next, which is that the corporate bean counters come in. They realize it is a heck of a lot cheaper to offer up 401ks to employees instead of pensions because, after all, there's no law that you have to offer any of this stuff to anybody. And slowly but surely, the pension system is dismantled. What probably contributed to this as well was that this period coincides with what is called the great bull market of the 20th century, which runs from the early 1980s to 2000. So people see the stock market going up and up and up, and they're sold on this idea that they can invest their way successfully into a good retirement. And I tend to suspect, though this is, of course, forever unprovable, that had this not coincided with this huge run-up in the market, it might not have occurred the way it did. We know that people got very into it. At one point in the late 1990s, Gallup ran a poll and asked people what they thought the average annual returns in the market would be, and they said 30% in perpetuity. People really fell for this for a long time.
One of the interesting things was in the book that, well, I would take the example of Susie Orman, who started on one end of this thought and ended up supporting Occupy Wall Street. And what?
Right. Though she, you know, wrote one op-ed in favor of Occupy Wall Street and then kind of vanished. Then a few months later debuted her branded debit card and tried to claim that it was an anti-poverty measure. So what you actually see are some of these people attempting to attach themselves and their products to movements like Occupy. Susie Orman has not really spoken about Occupy in quite some time. So what she has been very vocal about, and I will give her credit, is gay rights, of which she is just fantastic on.
Yes. several times in the book, you did give the caveat that she said something's wrong when people are hurting and college loans are excessive. And it is just amazing how many people do not understand how much things have changed. And especially retirees, you know, myself being over 60, I think they're remembering it the way it used to be. And you got a college loan, and why wasn't it your responsibility to pay it back, et cetera, not understanding the enormous difference in the rates and how they're paid and what's required. It's sometimes hard to explain.
Oh, I would agree with that. I mean, I do have to say, this is a personal experience. I am the product of young parents who are 20 years older than me. My husband, who's the same age, on the other hand, was the product of, you know, he was the last child with older parents. While my parents, who are still in their late 60s, do fairly intuitively get the world we live in, my late in-laws, it would sometimes be hard to explain some of these things to them and how much it had changed because they did not really deal with it any longer. And they did not, the thing I can tell you, what they really did not understand was what you and I would call the contingent workforce. They couldn't quite figure out how that worked and why so many people of their friends' children were having trouble getting and keeping jobs.
Exactly.
Whereas my parents actually understood it quite instinctively. It was a very interesting thing to watch.
Because your parents are living it. They're seeing
My parents are still living it.
Yeah.
They're in their 60s. And my in-laws really retired before that became a huge part of the workforce.
For us in my 60s, it's really the kids that I see who will never be able to cobble together a down payment for a house. I mean, we were able to get in. How does that happen? Student loans? I don't know any of them that aren't in the 30s and 40s and $50,000.
Well, the student loan thing has exploded, and it's exploded in part because, you know, the state universities cut back aid massively post-2008, and, you know, tuitions went up. But it also exploded because in 2005, we lost the right to excise private student loans in bankruptcy court. So all of a sudden, you know, it used to be harder to get, you know, after the federal guarantees wore out, it used to be harder to get these bank loans. You know, you really did have to prove creditworthiness, and because the banks, you knew that people could go to court and have them taken away in bankruptcy court, and people did it. And, of course, now that you can't do that, you know, the college tuition rates go up at fantastic rates, and, you know, it's almost like temporary third-party payer. So people take the money not kind of realizing, because, of course, what 18-year-old thinks about this sort of stuff?
And what are their options without?
I think one of the things the pervasive income inequality has done over a 30-year period is people don't meet people who aren't like them very often anymore.
I agree.
People separate in ways that we did not when you and I were growing up. I'm in my 40s, you're in your 60s. You know, we used to live in neighborhoods. It was more ethnically stratified, but we've replaced that with economic stratification.
Yeah.
There's a study that came out the other day, and I'm not going to be able to reference it that well because I haven't totally looked at it yet. I read a write-up on it, and they found wealthier people who live in mixed-income neighborhoods are more likely to give money to charity and give more to charity when they do.
Yeah.
Which I found fascinating, because obviously they're confronted more with people unlike themselves.
Now, I know that a couple of weeks ago there was this big shake in the California PERS system. And again, there is a segment who has relied on and been, I don't want to say safely covered, because certainly everybody is nervous and jumpy because the dismantling is almost complete. But again, the trade-off used to be, well, I won't work in a risky field. I will put in my hours, and I'm a third-grade school teacher, and I'm going to show up and do the job and work every day. I mean, one of the things that I thought when I first saw you on Jon Stewart's Daily Show, and he asked the same question that I pondered a lot during this Great Recession and even before, is work. Work.
Right.
The honor and value of going to work. Is it necessary now for it to be my job as a, I don't know, third grade school teacher or somebody that works at JCPenney's or even somebody who's a philosophy master at a college to know how to invest my 401k and what's the best stock on Wall Street and where am I going to get the best return? I mean, it's daunting.
What I would say is this. The financial services sector knows most of us are never going to get this, okay? They are, I believe they are aware of this fact. Yet, of course, their whole mantra is pitching us on the idea that we can do it. Because if they say, oh, you can't do it, well, what role do they have, right? So we've been subjected to many, many years of this barrage of the idea that anybody can turn into an investor. All they need is the proper tools. It is, in fact, completely and utterly untrue. People are, as Jane Bryant Quinn, who I interviewed for the book and, you know, is wonderful, by the way, and still sometimes writes, either said to me, she said, if people were interested in investing, they'd go work on Wall Street. And the new mantra has been to tell people they should be interested in investing, and if they're not, there's something wrong with them.
And financial literacy.
Financial literacy is this movement that is basically, it sounds great, right? But when you look at it, it turns out to be this movement that is completely bought and paid for by the financial services sector. Because from their perspective, what's more effective? You know, legislation that would protect people and would stop some of these gotcha products, or telling people that they could learn all the skills needed so that 20 years out, they could read a 100-page, single-spaced, tiny print mortgage and pick out all the gotcha terms so that it's perfectly legal to sell people this stuff.
Well, and that's where we did have that moment of Elizabeth Warren and at least the fighting for saying this should be easy to understand, this should be easy to read. I know when I surround myself with the most competent, capable, intelligent people, and they can't give me an answer, I feel like you did at the beginning of the book, then maybe there is no answer.
And if this is a two-part thing, so I'm going to do the first part and then the second part. First part is, even with the most clear disclosures possible, and don't get me wrong, I support much clearer disclosure, the fact is people can still be talked into a lot of things that aren't very good for them, which is why you really need substantive legislative protection for people. I've really become convinced of this.
For the perverse incentive to be taken away.
Right. If somebody has an incentive to sell you a bad product, rest assured someone out there will do it, and they will make it sound perfectly normal, and why shouldn't you do this? But the other part of this is this whole world has been predicated on this idea that it is happening in some rational, predictable way.
Yes.
In fact, as you just pointed out, there is no such thing going on. We don't know how an individual stock is going to do in 6 months, never mind 6 years. We don't know how the market is going to do in 6 months or 6 years or 60 years. We don't know if we're going to lose a job. We don't know for how long we're going to live. Should we save for a retirement that's age 70? Or are we going to make it to 95? What is our health going to be? What about our children? What about, you know, are they going to go to college? What's going to become of them? And the financial services industry has just sold you on this idea that you can predict all of this, and therefore you can plan for all of it. It's frankly just not true.
I'm speaking with Helene Olin about her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Now we can go to Membership Central and find out how you can get this book and support KBOO at the same time.
Thank you so much, Michelle. What an excellent, excellent interview. Find me this kind of information from the shrieking heads. It just doesn't happen. Let me right now take a moment to talk you into something that's good for you. That's the power that knowledge brings when you get real information made by real people with real voices. That's what I'm asking you to stand up and join. I'm asking you to become a stakeholder right now in the only station that will bring you this unfettered access to deliver information to you rather than deliver you into the hands of advertisers. What is that worth for you? Why don't you call up and tell us what that is worth for you? 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number. 877-500-KBOO. We're making progress. Just $620 to go. And that may sound like a lot. I know I don't have it in my pocket right now, but there are thousands of you listening. And what happens is you each give us some monies, and then we marry those monies with other monies, and then we get it together and we keep this station, this incredible experiment that has been going for 45 years, we keep it alive and powerful and serving the entire community. 877-500-5266. You can do that online at kboo.fm. Perhaps you're in Eastern Oregon and we're a special lifeline for you. I mean, we know that it's hard enough to get real information in the big city, and when we start to get into the more rural communities, I like to think we're an extra special lifeline. So maybe you could call us up toll free, 877-500-5266. We really are trying to lend voice to so many different constituencies. Maybe you're down the Willamette Valley, maybe you're up the Columbia Gorge. We like to think that we're trying to serve all of you, and I'm sure there's more we can do, and we'd like to hear from you to call up and tell us what more can we do. And when I think about the fact that 10% of our listeners are responsible for almost 90% of our budget, I'm forced to ask myself, what could we do with more people getting involved? It's not the amount of money. We're not looking to break the bank. I mean, 6 cents a day, 25 cents a day, a dollar a day, that's what it takes. And that's all that it takes, because there's so many of you and we have power together that we can't possibly have as individuals. Won't you call us right now and introduce yourself? Tell us what we're doing right. Tell us what we can do better. We so long to hear from you. Toll free, 877-500-5266. You can do that online at kboo.fm, or you can come down to the mighty 90.7 in person, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. By any means necessary, please show your support right now.
I'm speaking with Helene Olin about her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. You do a great job in the book of debunking these myths as they come up, and at least understanding that they're not neutral, that this feeds into the financial system. I mean, the end of pensions. I've had this conversation with people my age, and they forget that it wasn't always this way. 401k was not just like the sun coming up in the morning and the moon going down at night. I'm speaking with Helene Olin about her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. I think the stress level is about as high as it can be, because as they are telling you, you can predict. We are seeing the sequester. We are seeing the financial meltdown. We are seeing the markets erratic. We are seeing Greece. We are being told about budgeting. We are being misled and led about Social Security. So even the minimal things that we had in place, you get to fit 65, you get to, you know, your retirement will be this, you get to here, your pension and your PERS will be this. When all of that, the very institutions that they said we could count on are in disarray, it makes the stress even harder. And you talk very interestingly about a couple of studies and the stress toward money or not having enough. Do you remember what?
Yeah,
okay.
The studies show, it's actually sort of fascinating, because we always try to talk about this idea that poor people make bad choices, right? Well, in fact, and to some extent, they do. But the reason people who are under financial stress make bad choices is because they have to make so many choices. So if you think about it for a minute, you know, while on one hand, you know, I will think about it for a minute if I'm going to buy a quart or a half gallon or a full gallon of milk when I'm at the store, it's not going to break my financial budget if I make the wrong decision. But in fact, for somebody who has financial problems, this is the first of many, many decisions they will make during the day, any of which have the potential to knock their financial card over. And there is a great game online that I write about in the book that I urge everybody who's in any doubt about this to go check out. It is called Spend. You could just put it into Google and you will find it. And basically the idea is you are a person trying to survive on a minimum wage job. And all it does is it gives you the choices of, you know, how far from work are you going to live? What do you do if your car breaks down? What kind of job can you get? Your kid needs to go to a birthday party but can't go without a toy, but you're going to go into a gift, but you're going to go into debt to buy that gift, and so on down the line. And it is just about impossible to make it to the end of the month. I mean, it's really kind of one of these eye-opening things that I urge everybody to check out.
Yes, I took it and I thought about it a lot, and it brings me to one of my most personal confessions. I mean, I too came up where Republicans are rich because they know how to handle money better. And when you see the working poor raising children, they just aren't as good at it. And of course, all evidence is who's making harder, more difficult decisions all along, every single day, without any buffers or any lifeline.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people are just so overwhelmed by the challenge of getting through day to day. And that is really something, you know, aside from, you know, people like Barbara Ehrenreich, you really don't see a lot of in our discourse right now. You know, there's still a lot of people out there really suffering financially. Our unemployment rate is still not particularly good.
Again,
salaries continue to fall. They are not picking up with the recovery.
And again, you know, we continue to marginalize it.
Right. I describe a lot of personal finance as it's almost as if some Ayn Rand self-determination book met a Victorian morality tract. And so it's this idea that the fiscally virtuous and strong will prevail. And if you fall by the wayside, well, it was all on you. I mean, that's really what an awful lot of this stuff boils down to. Whether you're watching CNBC and they're telling you to invest in this stock and that stock with the clear implication that if you don't do this and you don't get it right, the things aren't going to go well for you. When in fact, of course, CNBC's, you know, advice is well known to be not that astute. There's one famous study out there that showed one of the best ways ever to make money in the stock market would be to hear everything Jim Cramer says to buy and immediately go out and short it or bet against it. You know, CNBC has promoted, you know, the tech bubble, the housing bubble, you know, and then said, oh, well, you know, how are we to know? Because what else are they there for except analysis, right?
To help us know. I'm speaking with Helene Olin about her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Now we can go to Membership Central and find out how you can get this book and support KBOO at the same time.
Thank you, Michelle. My name is Justin, and we are definitely looking to put a copy of this book into your hands, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry by Helene Olin. And if you could start or renew your membership at the minimum $60 level, we can send you a copy of this book. I want to thank Ed in Vancouver. He's a new member. Thank you so much, Ed. Don't get me wrong. Renewing members is so important, but getting to add new names to the KBOO roster is incredible. Ron in Beaverton, thank you so much for renewing your membership. You're heroes today, and you're blazing trail. You're setting the way for so many people. You're modeling excellent behavior. So now this is your reminder, dear listener, that it's your turn to call 877-500-5266. It's a toll-free number. We're waiting to hear from you right now. 877-500-5266. KBOO, just $620 to go. Five of you being willing to start this membership at the $120 level. Sounds like a lot of money, but we're going to set you up on an electronic funds transfer, and we will quietly and securely, with your permission, of course, take a modest $10 every month out of your account. You won't have to think about it, but you will get the quality of signal that can only be had when you are an owner, when you make it possible. Won't you consider doing that right now? Whatever the dollar amount is, won't you consider being to stand up and be counted, to join, to vote, to become a stakeholder? 877-500-5266. It's the only way we can put a copy of this book in your hands. And I will tell you, I am just struck at the difference in what KBOO brings to you over the airwaves versus what the Shrieking Heads bring to you. I am so profoundly struck how different it is. And I know you are too, dear listener. That's why you've been listening, in some cases, for years and years and years. And I'm not here to guilt you. I'm here to alleviate your guilt. I'm here to offer you the path of less resistance, if not least resistance. You have shown admirable resolve in resisting our entreaties, and we know that you are going to be a fabulous ally, because when you can resist our entreaties for so long, I know you are going to be a formidable force on the side of KABU, on the side of free speech, on the side of group activity, on the side of information. Won't you call and introduce yourself right now? 877-500-5266. Maybe you could do that $120 over the next year, and we could send you two copies of Ms. Olin's book, and then you could give one to someone else who needs it as well. I'm trying to talk you into something that's good for you, not something that's bad for you. But you tell me what it is we can do more of. You tell me what we can do better at. You tell me what moved you this time to finally pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. Maybe you prefer to do that online at kboo.fm, and while you're there, you can enter our KABU poster contest. Every day we're putting up an historic poster from a past KABU event, asking you to comment, tell us about it. Were you there? Did you have an experience there? And every day at 3 p.m. we're choosing a winner, and someone's winning that poster. And while you're at KABU.fm, you can look around our archives. There are literally, I'm trying not to say literally because that's not what it means. There are actually thousands and thousands of hours in our archives. Peruse them. It's yours. It's there for the taking. And the only thing we ask you to do in return is to put a small price on it with pennies, nickels, and dimes. Call us and tell us what finally moved you to take right action, to get involved, to become a stakeholder. 877-500-5266. I want to give you a copy of Pound Foolish. This is such important information, and we don't get this elsewhere. And let's be honest, folks, you joined a long time ago with your hearts and your minds, because I believe you're just like me. You cannot bear the shrieking heads. You simply can't bear it anymore. You are above it. You're a bigger person than that. You are more of a giver than that. You want to give back. You don't want to feel like you're taken from the way those shrieking heads do. And that's why you listen to KABU. And it's okay. I'm not going to ask you to like every hour of every day equally. That's all right. That's not our mission. Our mission is to deal with what is left undone. Our mission is to focus on the neglected, on the unpopular. And I know sometimes that can be hard. I know sometimes that's painful information, but if we don't do it, it doesn't get done. And if you don't call us, that money stays on your table. It is not given to the whole community. Won't you please consider putting a price on it, whether that's $20 a year or $1,000 a year? I don't really care today. I want to add your name to the KABU Good Book, so that when we open up that book, we will find you there as someone who stood up to be counted and to be a stakeholder. Do that online at KABOO.FM. If you've never been down, come to your station. We will welcome you with open arms. We won't ask you why it took you so long to come down. That's not the way we roll. We will thank you with open arms at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. And if you're busy, and I understand you are, we'll only take a minute of your time. Just give us a call and introduce yourself. Toll free from anywhere in North America. 877-500-KABOO.
I'm speaking with Helene Olin about her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. I think that you do a great job, and the basic premise is not only that can't personal finance solve the greater social and economic problems, but I think it kind of keeps us from understanding and exposing ways in which we maybe actually could create a climate that might help. And I think that sometimes is the unspoken frustration that people feel.
Right. I mean, because as I said, the language of personal finance assumes we're in this separately, and it actually argues against collective action. Because, of course, why are you in this mess? You messed up individually. And that's really some of the issue within the world of personal finance itself. And to go back to something else you said, I mean, this is you really see this in the world of women and money, where women are, you know, constantly told this idea that they know nothing about money. Their approach to it is too emotional. They shop too much. Well, in fact, women have less savings than men for a pretty basic reason. They earn less than men. They have more responsibilities on that money than men, and they live longer. The studies actually show that women are, maybe a better way to put this is both sexes are abysmally financially ignorant, women slightly more so than men. But on the other hand, men get themselves into more messes because they think they know more than they do. So the financial services industry, though, sees this situation, and their response is to tell women they need to save more money, which is really interesting, again, given that they're, you know, earning less.
Yeah.
And have more responsibilities on it. So how exactly are you supposed to do that? Followed by the fact that they take this language, and it's this weird mix of empowerment and infantilization, and they say to women, you need our help. This is a multitask too far. And we have financial advisors who can help you with all of this. So it becomes this weird mix of, you need to grow up, girl, step up to the plate on your money, and we'll take it over.
Yeah, you do a great job of that feeling coming through. And again, I want to caution people, it isn't a victimization. It isn't that there's nothing that you can do. And it's not even saying that there's nothing you should do. It is to try and give voice to the memes that have been predictably part of this culture and that require true analysis, which is what you do so well in the book. I want to remind our listeners that I've been speaking with Helene Olson about her new book, Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. It's just a very readable, engaging, personal account, which aren't words that you often hear in this very important subject. It was fascinating.
Well, thank you.
I want to remind our listeners again that this is KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and thank them for listening.
Thank you, Michelle. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 100.7 FM Corvallis and Albany. The time is 9:58. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we'll hear Air Cascadia with your headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, an update on the case of military whistleblower Bradley Manning, and a look at the real U.S. role in Syria. And at 11 on the Recovery Zone, host Stephanie Potter explores what it is to be human or wild with Miles Olson, author of Unlearn, Rewild, Earth Skills, Ideas, and Inspiration for the Future Primitive.
How does the relentless passing of time shape our decisions? Do life cycles consume or empower us?
Explore these questions through rhythm, dance, and voice at the premiere showing of Insatiable, featuring the Portland Taiko Ensemble.
Performances take place Friday, March 29th, and Saturday, March 30th, in the Lincoln Performance Hall at Portland State University.
Again, that's Insatiable, a contemporary performance of Japanese folk art created by director Michelle Fuji, featuring the Portland Taiko Ensemble.
More information can be found at kbu.fm/insatiable2013.
Tune in this Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. for News and Public Affairs Day on KBOO. Speakers will include award-winning writer and activist Raj Patel, Bill McKibben of 350.org, and Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!
That motto should be the Hippocratic Oath of the media today, should be the Hippocratic Oath of us all today. We will not be silent. Democracy Now!
That's KBOO's biannual News and Public Affairs Day this Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. right here on KBOO Portland.
morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, March 27th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Kurt Lauer is the engineer today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. These headlines, interviews, and analysis that you have on Air Cascadia only happen because of your support for KBOO. That's 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Community radio that get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Coming up this morning, after banjaxing a crucial Supreme Court decision on the classification of logging road runoff just a week ago, now the EPA issues a report finding that rivers and streams across the West are in bad shape because of, wait for it, runoff from logging roads. That's right. And Hanford won't be shipping its nuclear waste anywhere anytime soon. And the Goose's timber sale in the Willamette Forest has run into some potholes of its own on the road to clear-cutting more of Cascadia's woodlands. And this week, the alternative media lit up with articles on Bradley Manning and the significance of his action. David Swanson will be joining us to advocate for awarding Manning the Nobel Peace Prize. Also, the Supreme Court enters the second day of considering the right for all people to marry, regardless of gender. This time, it's DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act from 1996, I believe, which Clinton signed off on. And now we find ourselves trying to redress that particular crime against couples wishing to marry. First, this from the National Weather Service. One moment, it looks like a gentle spring morning, and the next, it's showers and a possible thunderstorm. Highs near 63 today, and the same scenario tonight with a low around 46 predicted. Tomorrow repeats the warning with a high near 59, and tomorrow night a chance of showers, the same possibility of thunderstorms, a slight chance of showers, and lows in the 40s. The alternative lunar forecast, it's a root moon in Virgo, 15 days old, still looking pretty full. Synodic forecast says that now it's a good time for root vegetables. Biodynamicists say that with a moon in Virgo, it's an earth sign, so it's a good time to sow root plants. And the sidereal side of things, weigh in with moon in Virgo, dry and barren, good time for garden maintenance. But then, of course, what time isn't a good time for garden maintenance? And that's it for both the traditional